good to be here for the first time ever for me at Kaohsiung, and to be with my good friend, my old friend, Hugh, on this Feast of Christ the King. Looking forward to talking a little bit about the work of the Anglican Centre in Rome after this service, or rather the 10:30 service, and also on Tuesday evening for the Kaohsiung lectures. We've got a message here about a king who was essentially a shepherd king. And I want to illustrate this by what I think is one of the oldest treasures in New Zealand, still in active use. This is an old shepherd's crozier, shepherd's staff from Stoke in England, probably 300 years old, therefore one of the oldest treasures still in active use in New Zealand, having come here with Bishop Henry Baines as Bishop of Wellington after he was Bishop of Singapore. But it's made up of oak, which can be put together, as you see, into a shepherd's staff, but actually functions around the back leg of a sheep or around the neck of a lamb. And basically, you put it together so that it can do what it was created to do, what it was designed to do. It's now used, as you can see, by bishops, but originally it guided and shepherded an actual flock of sheep. What's fascinating about this particular shepherd's staff is that it's very close to the original dimensions and usage of the shepherd's staff in Israel, Palestine. And that had five uses, not just what we might call guidance by moving the neck of a lamb or retrieving the back leg of a sheep going in the wrong direction. It had a guidance function, certainly, for shepherds. But it had other functions. One of them was a sense of toehold or fastness on a slippery slope, or to help ascend a steep hill. It actually provided foothold, quite literally, or indeed to work on a sheep fastened to the rod. So there was guidance and a sense of fastness, a secure toehold. It also provided a form of defence against rustlers and could be used as a kind of shield. It was used sometimes to encourage the sheep to rise up and walk. But most poignantly of all, in the shepherd traditions of the Old Testament, it was used in the sheep pen at night, when the shepherd slept across the open entrance as a living door, when a wild animal made a noise outside, or bad weather approached, or there was something that would frighten the sheepfold, the sheep in the pen, the shepherd would wake up, take the rod, and place it out over the backs of the sheep in the pen, three or four at a time, just to provide a touch in the darkness, giving a sense that he was there, giving a sense that he was their comfort, as a defense, as a guide, as a toehold, as an encourager. Which is why Psalm 23 uses that haunting phrase, "Your rod and your staff are my comfort." What we have here, then, in the Gospel today, is shepherding in this kind of way, in the form of Christ the King in our own lives. This is not a medieval monarch. This is not a ruthless tyrant. This is not a military leader. This is a shepherd who in five ways rules in our lives. Our way is guided by this kind of sovereignty, and it's therefore guidance from these words. It's a sure toehold from the company of each other on the slippery slopes of life. It's a sure defence in the sense of the wisdom of Christ against the shadows and the darkness. A light that does not go out and cannot be overcome by the shadows. A form of encouragement to rise up and walk on a Sunday morning. Whatever you bring here is met with a strength that is stronger than you. And finally, just a sense of a touch from the Lord. Perhaps just the feel of the bread on your palm. Perhaps just a smile from another parishioner. A touch from the Lord can be so real. And this kind of sovereignty, this kind of kingly rule, is what will ultimately change the world. Let me give you a quick story by illustration. A young friar decided to join a monastery on the edge of a desert. His vision was to see Christ the King, risen, ascended, glorified, and in a way like Thomas, to touch the hem of his garment, to feel the wounds in his side. He joined a monastery believing he would, by his vows, by his community life, see the kingly face of Christ shining, physically, literally, eventually, if he was holy enough. Well, he joined the monastery and nothing happened for over a decade. He enjoyed the singing, he enjoyed the company of the brothers, he felt peace at times in his prayers, but no experience of a shining, sovereign light, a visceral experience of the rule of Christ. One day he was asked to join those brothers who met at the gate of a little priory to minister to the poor, the least, the lost, and the last, who often came there before the days of the welfare state. A bell would go at 11:30 each day, a signal to the brother to go to the gate, and then the poor would come to the entrance, and for several hours the brothers would minister. One day he was about to, in his cell, getting ready to go to the gate, when just kneeling quietly in the early morning, his cell started to fill with light, and he felt a power enter him, a strength in the room, a sense of Christ risen, ascended, the High King of Heaven. He realized he was going to be given the gift of a lifetime. And then the bell went. Should he go to the gate? Or should he stay and enter this extraordinary divine experience? He wrestled with himself for a few moments, and then his vows got the better of him, and probably the message of today's gospel in Matthew 6 about the hungry, the thirsty, the naked, those in need. These had seeped into him, these had become part of him, and so out of duty more than anything else, he reluctantly left the cell and trudged towards the gate. The poor were there as usual. One of them was quite rude to him. It was a rather uneventful time. And as the hour went on at the gate, he became more and more upset, feeling cheated, really. Eventually, he came back to his cell and threw himself over his prayer desk and began to weep, having walked away from the experience of a lifetime. But the cell and the strength and the power that he had left returned. Except this time it was stronger and clearer and warmer and filled his entire being. And then he heard a voice deep inside him from the spirit of today's gospel, from Christ the King, the Shepherd King, which said, if you had not have gone, I wouldn't have stayed. You did it to the least of these. That's the kingdom of God. That's the rule of Christ. That's the royal sovereignty of the King of Love. In and through heart to heart, this is what changes the world in the end. And so we leave this place with a sense of the company of a good shepherd whose sovereignty is love, whose reign is kindness, whose vision is justice, who calls us to look for the least, the lost, and the last in our own lives, our neighbours, our families, our friends. And in the way, the truth, and the life of the Shepherd King, to walk in that sovereignty, to walk tall in the ways of the Good Shepherd, the Shepherd King of our lives.